Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Dun, dun, dun. What's that smell?
That's the smell of a freshly baked DNR holiday show just for our listeners.
Take a whiff. Well, that explains it. Now let me get back to my vacation.
Don't worry, bitches. We'll be back in the blink of an eye. But in the meantime, enjoy this brand new episode of DNR that we put together for you to enjoy this holiday season.
Ho, ho, ho. Derek here along with Romaine, and Jamie Kelton is with us, host of the Queer Family Podcast. There are new episodes available on the DNR Cast app every Monday. So be sure to plus up your DNR subscription with the DNR Studios Plus subscription at DNR Studios today to enjoy the Queer Family Podcast along with all of the other wonderful shows that we have. Award-winning.
Yes, I was going to say, you forgot the award-winning part, Derek. Queer Family Podcast is an award-winning podcast.
That's right.
You
can check them out on the web at thequeerfamilypodcast.com and on Twitter X and Instagram and Facebook. They are The Queer Family Podcast in all those places.
Except no more Twitter, because it's probably my fault, because y'all are really like, you actually like write scripts and stuff. So you probably found that. We're not on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter anymore. I left it.
You got rid of it? You left the platform? You said, enough of this.
I did. Enough of this.
Yeah.
I'm not on that. But I am on TikTok.
Okay. What do you do on the TikTok?
Yeah.
Oh, all kinds of stuff, Romaine. I mean, all the normal stuff that I do on the other platforms, you know. And I love music and dancing. So there's a lot of that.
I do know this about you.
Yeah.
That you do love the music and the dancing.
I do.
Did you star in a production of Peter Pan? Were you in Peter Pan?
No.
Why did I see a lot of Peter Pan pictures on one of your social medias?
Okay. So I did work on Disney Cruise Line as a performer
for
many years. And I played the Wendy character. In the
so you were okay, yeah, okay,
but it wasn't like the Pete, like the it was because Disney Cruise Line writes their own musicals, that are based on their movies, It's very, you know, it's Disney does their own thing,
they do,
yeah.
So they do,
and they have their own special musicals that are only for the cruise ship, you know, because it gets you to go on the cruise ship,
right?
So I basically played the wind, yeah. So you've seen those with the brown wig and the.
Oh, yeah. I deep dived. I did.
You did.
I did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dang, Romaine.
Yeah. Sometimes when I do my research, I go a little cray.
Whoa. I don't even know what's out there. So
now,
I need to do a deep dive.
Now, do you like being on stage?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, no. I only ask this, you know, because Romaine and I, obviously, we do a radio show together, obviously, just like you do a podcast and everything. But this is a very different thing than being on stage. Even though you are sort of performing in public, there's not an audience directly in front of you. And not everybody loves to be in front of an audience. Me.
Derek doesn't like to be in front of an audience.
Romaine loves it. She loves the energy of the crowd and everything.
The feeling of. Yeah. Yeah, I do love it. I'm shocked that you don't, Derek. I'm like really shocked.
It was a big surprise to Romaine the first time that we got up on a stage together.
And he clammed shut. I was like,
he was like,
what
so
just happened to
and
Derek?
I'm like, fading away upstage, and Romaine's like, where the hell is he going? What is happening?
Yeah. It was crazy the first time. I was like, Derek?
I'm shy.
Running away in the corner.
But you're not shy, Gaby, so you don't have this problem.
No, I am shy. I'm an introvert. I'm introverted, but I'm like I think I get my kicks by like, if I can do, I don't know. Performing gives me something. I don't know.
You're like a comedian in that way. So Derek and I have talked about this many times when you talk to comedians and you interview them, they're the worst interviews because they're like that. They go all introverted and you're like, wait, what happened? But when you're on stage, you're this like wild, crazy, funny. And then,
right. No. Yeah. Except I'm not funny like a comedian, nor am I witty or quick. So, but I can sing and dance up a storm. So watch out.
I have seen some of your dancing videos that you've done for the Queer Pay Family podcast, specifically when you're celebrating an award or a big guest get or something like that. You do some pretty fun dancing video.
Well, there's a lot of fun trends to get yourself in on.
Yeah.
I appreciate, I am like a teenager on TikTok for that. Mm. At nighttime in bed, my poor wife just here. All I'm doing is like scrolling for the next dance trend. It's like sad.
How do your children feel about you on the TikTok?
There's a big eye roll and annoyance at the whole thing of it.
Uh-huh. Are they embarrassed?
I think so, yes. Well, so my 6-year-old, he has no idea. My soon-to-be 11-year-old, I think so. And like some of her, she's too young. She's not allowed to have social media. I'm being really, really strict with all the stuff.
Yeah.
But some of her friends have TikTok accounts and she gets like 20 minutes of social media time a week where she gets to go into Anne's TikTok and Anne only has TikTok to basically like my posts and let Rose look at like dog videos. her friends have TikTok accounts and somehow her friends found my account. And so some of the boys at school were like, I saw your mom's stupid TikTok. And that was mortifying because I'm all up talking about gay people, lesbians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about same sex attraction, as they like to say in the religions. I'm like, you know, and then I'm doing silly dances. I'm singing and it's very mortifying for an 11-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. I've been dealing with that for some years myself. So I understand.
Yeah. When is this over? It's just beginning.
It doesn't end. Doesn't it? You're just in the you're in the baby stages of teenage girl years. Just wait. Oh God, you have so many exciting years ahead of you. Oh.
I am not prepared. And I know it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be so tough. I know it. I know it.
Yeah.
Well, we're in so much trouble with this one.
You are. I say with delight because I'm nearing the end of those horrible years.
Oh my God.
I've almost survived them. It's been a real challenge, to say the least. But just be glad you live in New York City and you're not going to have to teach your daughter how to drive.
Oh my God. But she's going to need to learn to drive. Like, we're going to have to teach her. I want her to drive. This child is driving.
I'm just going to tell you right now, teach your child to drive is literally the scariest thing I've done yet.
Scared.
Like, the first time Romy drove with Iris in the car, and I honestly thought we were going to die. I literally, we got out of the car and I turned to my wife and I said, we're selling this car and we're getting a much better, safer car. So we went out and bought a lesbian Subaru because we were so scared because she almost rolled our Jeep Wrangler and we thought, we don't want to die this way.
Mm-mm. Oh my
God. Then my wife refused to teach her how to drive. So I got stuck with all the driving like lessons.
Oh my God. I don't.
Oh, I'm telling you you literally feel like you could die at any moment. And it's terrifying. And even though she now has her license, I still am terrified. I'm like,
to be in the car or for her to drive at all? Are you
both?
Terrified?
Both. Absolutely.
I'm not getting
both.
If you're driving, I'm not getting in. Like,
it's so scary. And the things that you think, this will be easy. Pull into a parking spot. Terrifying.
Oh, my, like, just the lack of impulse control that this child possesses just from birth. Like, each kid is different. And this child seems to have the most little amount of impulse control a human being can have. I'm scared. You just really
you really pay all the money to have somebody else teach your kid to drive. Trust me.
God.
Pay all, just save it now and pay it all, like throw money at other people.
I'm also
to teach
like
them.
I'm like safety girl on the road. I it's
you're gonna die. You're gonna die. And I thought my wife would be the one that would be so good at it because she's like the calm, cool, level-headed one. And I'm me. And no, Iris was psychotic and crazy and couldn't cope. And then I'm like, I'm the one that has to do this? Me?
Oh, my God.
This is bad. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so you something to look forward to. As
so
parent.
Maybe I won't teach her to drive.
You know, there are driving schools. You could send her
yes,
to some
saying,
kind of driving boarding school.
Spend the money. Worth
oh,
it.
Oh, God. That's the problem, though. I don't trust other drivers. I think I'm the only good driver in the world, so...
Okay.
Not even my wife. I'm the worst. You don't want me as your passenger. I'm so bad. I try to hold it in when it's not.
You're
my
not
wife.
Gonna be able to do it.
Oh, I know. I'm not gonna be able to do
I'm
it.
I'm telling you, it's so terrifying. I have an imaginary brake that I'm always hitting. And my daughter's like, uh-huh. You can stop hitting your imaginary brake, Mom.
That's me just in a car.
Yeah. Yeah. She gets so mad at me.
I have my hand on the handle. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly pushing against the dashboard and pushing my legs up. Like that's just
die.
Me in a normal car, right?
Yeah. So then dramatic. I'm telling you right now, you better get some blinder sunglasses so you can't see. Because you're gonna and you think like they'll be going 30 miles an hour and you're like, stop going 75 miles an hour. Because that's what it feels like when you're the passenger and your child is driving.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, it's
Romaine.
I'm just telling you, it's so scary. It's so scary.
This is not
I like talking to you, Jamie, because I feel like I can express my fun parenting style on you and scare you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because she never talks about any of this on our show.
No, of course not.
No. Okay, so let's talk about Queer Family Podcast because this is kind of our year in review time where we're talking to all the different shows that you can find on the DNR Studios platform. And Queer Family Podcast is one of those shows. So tell us about this last season of the show and all the exciting stuff that you've had going on.
Oh, y'all are so organized.
Yes.
I just want you to like write my scripts and like come up with my year in review and shit. Am I allowed to swear? Was that
you
illegal?
Can. You
yeah,
can
yeah,
cuss.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, it's so great to be on an org, to be under somebody else's organization for once and not my messy head. The Queer Family Podcast. Well, this season, you know what? We did something really fun this season. Hmm. I still say we, like there's somebody else with me helping me at all.
It's just you. You're the boss.
It's just me. And I did something fun. I had an intern, Nicole, and her wife, Shannon, right? So Nicole has been with me for like 2 years. And she's kind of become my assistant. And she helps me out here and there. She's not helping me out right now because she got a new job and it's like taking all of her life.
Ugh, damn,
I know.
Job's getting in the way.
I know. And it's killing me softly. Like it's so hard. I'm doing everything again and it's so hard. But no, it's okay. But
this is that's how Romaine sounds when there are five people helping her.
Oh, no one will help me.
There's so much work. It never ends. So it's just turning out that I'm just not doing all the work, which is not like the way to go. But you know, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just gonna put on Real Housewives today. I'm not doing it. It's not good. It's not a good look.
We've all had those days.
Sometimes you just need to take. I think I'm in perimenopause or something. I'm just like, yeah, I know. Here we go. Wait, I'm talking about the Queer Family Podcast. So it's so fun to talk to other people. Okay, so the Queer Family, we did this. Okay, we did something fun. So Nicole has a wife named Shannon, and Nicole wanted to come work on my show back a couple years ago when I put out the call for interns because she didn't know if she wanted kids yet. And now 2 years later, she still, after working with me on this show, they still don't know if they want kids. So we did this cute little thing, a little mini series that it was Nicole and Shannon want a baby or do they? And we interviewed a bunch of different people and organizations that help queer folks on their family building journeys.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was like a mini series. It was really cool. It was really fun. It was really informative. I even learned a lot and I've been down this road many times.
Right.
Myself twice, but you know. So we interviewed Nicole and Shannon just about their story. And then I said we again. And then I interviewed Nicole and Shannon with like somebody who does this like funding for adoptions. You know, so we interviewed that about if that's the path you want to take, here's some help for you to do that. And then we interviewed somebody from California Cryobank, one of the big sperm banks, all about all the ins and outs of sperm donation. Then we interviewed somebody who has their own private, like basically it's like a dating service for sperm donors, known sperm donors.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So we explored that path, and we interviewed somebody who helps people fund their fertility journeys with grants and loans and all kinds of financial care. So we did that. So that was cool. That was fun. So that was a little mini series that I just threw into season 17.
And
it's going to be continued when Nicole's life slows down again, and we're going to we're going to go deeper, and we're going to like talk to people like a whole family with their known donor and how it all shakes down. And like, we're going to dive deeper into other things about how life shakes down as parents with the path you took. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah. So if you went the adoption route, maybe we get to talk to the birth parent plus the, you know, so we're going to continue. It's TBD to be continued, but Nicole's job is sucking her life dry and mine.
Yeah.
I have a question about this.
Yeah.
That I'm just curious of your point of view here. So, you know, Romaine had a donor, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
And the world of information was very different 18 years ago than it is now. And the original concept of the kind of anonymity with adoptions, with sperm donation and everything, egg donation is really out the window because of consumer DNA testing and everything. So what is your point of view here on how that has changed the landscape, and has it made it easier or harder for starting families?
I don't think it's made it easier or harder. I think the idea of ethics has come into play a lot more, and the donor-conceived community, the donor-conceived people of the world, are speaking up. And we're talking about the adults who were donor-conceived.
Yeah.
And they have a lot to say on this. And the idea of anonymity for many of them is a harmful and hurtful idea.
Interesting.
I have gotten into their algorithm a couple times, and I'm on good terms with them, but I have pissed them off a couple of times. And you don't want to piss off the donor-conceived community. They will come at you. And a lot of these donor conceived adults, a lot of them were not told about their donor conception as children. So there was a big betrayal that happened in their lives.
That makes sense.
Right. And a lot of these children are of straight families. Right. So there is a huge discrepancy between the queer community and the straight community when it comes to donor conception. And I think that there is so much in common between us in that we end up having to use donor conception to create our families.
Right.
However, the way we raise our families, there's a disconnect. We raise our families with, we tell them from the start.
And transparency,
transparency. And that is happening more and more now across the board with donor conception. However, in this, and I'm going to piss off the straight people here, but like in the straight community, there are still people who are trying to keep the secret because there's a lot of shame that comes with having to use a donor. And they don't want their kids to even know that they're not related to them.
Wow.
Right? Well, I mean, there's a lot of shame that comes with it.
Sure, I get that.
And we come at it like, oh my God, we're going to make our family. We chose our path. Yes, let's go. And we come at this donor conception thing with a lot of excitement because we know from the get-go, as soon as we know we're queer, we know we're going to have to use some help to create our families. Right. So, and we know we're going to be honest with our kids from the start because our kids are going to figure it out soon enough when they're looking at their two moms or their two dads or their trans dad and their cisgendered mom that something isn't the same as the other family. So we're talking about all this shit from the start.
Right.
And that's where we're different. And I feel like the straight people of the world need to get on board and understand that you got a lot. There's a lot you can learn from queer families and how we handle donor conception.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say about that. But also, I want to say, when I interviewed you, Romaine, you are one of the only people, Romaine, mm-hmm. who was like, I don't care. I don't want to know who that is. I am all about anonymity. I don't care. If she wants to know, she can. I remember you're one of the only people who said that. But still, even with that, your daughter, I should say Romy.
Romy. They're back to she, her again.
Okay.
We've gone through a lot of pronouns. Romy.
Go ahead, Romy. But like Romy has known from the start about mm-hmm. Romy's conception.
Oh, yeah. No, Romy's always known about the donor. We've had a folder full of information from the donor. We've always made that available to Romy. Romy could care the fuck less, which I find fascinating. I thought I keep waiting for that day that Romy cares.
Yeah.
But Romy just doesn't care. Like there's not any kind of emotional attachment to her donor. She knows that he exists. She knows this information is available to her should she want it, but has zero interest. And I've asked many times, I'm like, are you sure you don't want to see a picture or read some of them? Nope. Doesn't care.
You just never know. Like, they come out the little humans that they come out, right?
Yeah.
And when I did this, I did this miniseries and I talked to the woman who owns this agency called Seed Scout, which is like the, I call it like a dating platform for like known donors. So she is a matching platform. So she'll match you with these known donors and help with basically like all of the ins and outs that come with the known donor situation. Cause it's a lot more complicated of a path. If you want to take this path, you got to get legal involved. You got to know exactly what this relationship is going to be because this is forever.
Right.
And so her agency is supposed to help with that, but she kept throwing around the word ethical. And she kept talking about how sperm banks are not ethical. And we are trying to make donor conception more ethical. And I have talked to so many donor conceived people and, you know, she kept throwing this around and I kept pushing back at her and pushing back at her. And cause she was pissing me off. I used donor conception at a fucking sperm bank.
Sure. Me too.
Yeah. So I was getting pissed. And even in my intro, I was like, listen, y'all, you might've noticed I got salty with this, with this person. And then I got all this feedback from gay families who listened, like, thank you so much for pushing back. I was getting so triggered by her language and how she was talking about it. So it's really interesting. And then, you know, you look into these, they do, there's all these studies that talk about how, about donor conceived families. And when you really deep dive into these studies they've done, it's all straight families.
Right.
They're not polling queer families. Like, how many, I want to know the percentage of how many families that you talk to are of gay parents, and then tell me which of the kids of those families are okay with their conceptions. You know, like, if you're not doing the full study and really, really looking into all aspects of humanity on this issue, then you're not doing us any service whatsoever.
I agree.
Because we're a huge portion of donor conceived families out there. And we need it. So don't come to me with all your ethics and say, this is, you shouldn't allow. And she was like, you know, I don't want my kid to have 100 siblings. Love. I'm like, come on. First of all, yes, that happens here and there. But also, I haven't talked to a single queer family who has been upset with the siblings they've met. Not a single one.
I mean, so I'm aware because I signed us up for the sibling registry through California Cryobank. So I have some awareness of how many siblings are out there for Romy. But again, Romy has their, last time I checked, there were three.
Right.
But I will tell you, Romy, again, has zero interest whatsoever. Like, she just really doesn't care. One day I know eventually it's going to happen. It's got to, right? Because if it doesn't, I'm just going to think it's weird.
Well, she might.
Maybe she won't.
Maybe she won't, but it's there. It's there if she wants it. Like, you're doing due diligence. You know, you're on the list. You know how to figure out where the other siblings are, or you know how to search. There's also 23andMe, and like, you really can't be anonymous nowadays, to your point, Derek.
Yeah.
And we're doing everything we can to make sure our children feel safe and whole in this world, including the donor conception part of their lives. And I think that saying that one way to do it is more ethical than another really low and not cool, man. It's just not cool.
I agree with you. That I actually find that really kind of disturbing.
Right.
So right. So I do a lot. I do a lot of genealogy. Our listeners are tired of hearing about it, but I do a lot of genealogy research. I'm like super obsessed in it. And because I have a very aggressive like genealogy tree and I've done the DNA consumer DNA testing, I have interacted with easily a dozen like cousins who were adopted or whose parentage they did not realize there was a question mark around it. Ooh. And my mother was adopted herself. And so I, you know, so I have some experience in working in with this and in dealing with people. And what I have found just very generally from my own anecdotal experience is that how whole you feel about your family at the start will color how you feel about the rest of this journey of your lineage. And so, because, you know, as Pie Pant Romy feels whole and complete in her family.
Right. Exactly. This is a great point.
So she's not looking for something. And, you know, but my mother, who like hated her second, she was adopted twice. She really hated her second adopted mother. So she grew up always believing that like there was a real mom out there for her somewhere. Aww. Right. Because she was so unhappy with her mother. And then she was able to find her birth mother and they had a wonderful relationship. But what I have seen from the people that I've interacted with is if they come to this journey with a hole already in their heart, they are trying to fill it and with mixed results. Cause sometimes, you know, especially in adoption situations, people, you know, in the moment, gave their child up for adoption. And then, you know, that's it. Even if it's 50 years later, 60 years later, they're like, nope, I made that decision 60 years ago and I'm sticking by it.
Right.
And that can be very hard to hear because can you not take that personally? But I think that so much of this and why the queer families are going to be different from traditional cis heterosexual family units is that you're already you have situations where the people involved in making a family really, really wanted a family. They're invested in it emotionally, financially, and they are pouring a lot into it. And I think that their children, what I have seen of the children of LGBTQ parents, is that they really feel loved and wanted and accepted by their parents at a very high level. Yeah. And that's going to create a situation where they're not necessarily going to feel like I need other siblings. I need this other missing family. Cause they're not necessarily going to feel like something is missing. Mm-hmm. Especially once you get over because I remember this with Romy, when, you know, you're in elementary school and it's like, draw a picture of your family. Right. And the other kids have a dad. And then it's like, I don't have one of these. You know, is this necessary? And Romaine's like, no, not really. And then, you know, it's fine. But, you know, beyond that, most kids don't have like I'm missing this thing.
Right.
You know, in this situation. So I think it is very different.
Yeah, I agree. And I love those are all like really great points that you bring up. And it's not every kid either. Some kids might really miss the fact that they don't have that dad or they don't have that mom. You never know. Like, we're not saying it's everyone. However, most of the folks I speak to, it's the same situation that you just described, Derek. And my kids seem perfectly fine with it. Although my son, he's at the age where he's asking, why don't I have a dad? What's a dad? He's like trying to figure out what is that dad person, you know? So then you buy books, you read books. And we have this new book called The Zero Dads Club. And it's all these kids who don't have dads for different reasons, not just the gay thing. Right. And then they create a club. He was like, I'm going to create a club at school. I was like, maybe we shouldn't do that. Not piss anyone off.
But, you know, you could definitely see because I have met siblings, you know, in middle age that I did not know before. And it's fun because you don't have the childhood baggage with your own right. siblings that you grew up with. You can interact with each other as adults and sort of learn what is sort of genetic about you yeah. that you maybe thought was environmental. And it's fun to have like sort of new family. But I also think as a gay person, we're so used to creating our own family units all the time yeah. that the idea of, you know, being an adult and having a new sibling you didn't have before is just
yeah.
feels very common and normal. And sure, why not?
That's why, and I say this all the time, that's why I feel like queer people are the better people of this world. I mean, and as long and until everybody gets on board, we're all going to be in strife here. Queer people are the better ones. We're doing it right. Get on board and let's go.
That's right.
Let's go. It's better
this
way.
I don't disagree with you here, Jamie.
Get over here. It's so much sunnier over here. It's yeah. so nice.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
I think as parents, I do think queer people are better parents in a lot of ways. And part of what I think about it is because we are so intentional. Everything yes. we do, we have to put a lot of thought into everything. And consideration because everyone else is going to be judging us no matter mm-hmm. what we do. And we have to have just better lines of communication with our children from very early on yep. so that they can understand this is how our family is made. This is how we are different. And here is how we are different. And why that's totally okay to be.
Yeah.
And how do you talk to people in your life who are going to question that? Like, yeah. I had a situation, and Romy just told me about it recently. And evidently it happened last year.
This is my new thing. They don't tell you every time. Yeah. I thought it was going to be like all these moments where I'm like giving her one-liners, like, oh, you know what you say to him? Mm-hmm. No, they don't tell you. And then it's too late.
And then, and I was mad because I'm like, ooh, I would have gone to the mat for this one. So evidently last year on her school bus, now keep in mind, she's in high school. And she was on the bus and someone asked her a question. She goes, oh, well, my mom's. And the teacher's aide who was on the bus goes, moms? And Romy goes, yeah, I have two moms. And she goes, oh, we don't talk about those things. This is not the appropriate place to talk about those types of things on this bus.
What?
And Romy's like, I can't talk about the fact that I have two moms. What's wrong with that? And like, she got to the lady's face about it.
Good.
She's like, sorry, I have two moms and I don't have a dad, big ditty. And she kind of embarrassed the woman, but I was like, oh, if I had known about that, I would have had that woman fucking fired. I'd have fired
you're
her.
Going
I'd
down.
Have, I would have raised holy hell. And oh Romy's like, God. Mom, it's not that big of a deal. I just pulled her off.
It is a big deal, though, because that's the kind of rhetoric that is getting spewed like crazy right now that we can't talk about that.
Right.
Romy can't talk about her two moms. What the fuck?
Yeah. It's like, sorry, I have two moms. I was born that way.
Like, oh, my God. That's the scare. That's why this world can be so scary right now.
A little bit. But, then there are people like you out there with the Queer Family Podcast that are trying to normalize conversations about queer families and helping people realize that we're just like every other damn family with our own parenting issues and problems and challenges.
So many problems.
This is only an hour. We don't have time for all of your family problems. Okay, we're halfway through. We should probably actually talk about the holidays.
Okay, yes. That is kind of the point of the show.
Right. We have all this prep that we did. We impressed Jamie from the Queer Family Podcast with how organized we were. And then
I know, but I am a really good derailer. And I love a good conversation.
Well, first of all, I wanted to get your point of view on this particular issue because I feel like, you know, my kink is women who are great at their jobs. And so I am I was very curious to learn your, you know.
I love that you asked that question.
Yeah. OK, now let's talk.
And wait, just to add one more thing to derail you a little bit further. The adoption world and the queer world, we have so much in common as well.
Right.
And once the non-queer adoption world gets on board with that and sees that, oh, there's a lot of insight you can gain from us queer folks, the world will be a better place as well. Just want to add that there. Like, we need to bridge these gaps that just exist for whatever freaking reason. Like, we've been doing this ever since we've been starting creating families. Us queer folks, we understand the loss. We understand the struggle. Like, we get it. So come talk to us. We've processed this shit. Anyway.
Yeah.
I could go on.
I also think that the great thing that queer families can show as a path is a world without these kinds of family secrets. And this is what consumer DNA testing is uncovering. All the family secrets that people thought would never come out. And now they're all coming out. And I think that what we have seen is, you know, there a lot of damage gets done by these kinds of long buried family secrets. You know, the kids feel betrayed.
Yeah.
Or they live their whole lives like, why is everyone being weird? I don't understand what's weird. Why is this, you know? And I think that if we can just, if the best thing that can happen out of all this is that we sunset these kinds of shameful family secrets and let people, you know, live openly as their families and be good with it. Because, you know, I understand why if there's a heterosexual couple and they struggle with fertility and they, you know, they turn to donor eggs or donor sperm in order to complete their family. And I understand that, you know, as people who want to have kids, I understand that feeling of we really wanted this and it wasn't something we were able to do. I thought I could do everything and I can't do the thing I wanted to be able to do the most. And so I understand how upsetting that is, and that they also don't want the kids to think that their own biology means that they love their kids less in some kind of way. And so they don't want to tell them because they don't want to create that, you know, space between them. And so I understand these motivations. I understand these feelings. But I also think that they can build up in a toxic and unhealthy way. And it will be better when we can put all this aside because people won't have the ability to hide it forever anymore. And maybe that will force them to sort of come to terms with it themselves.
Yeah, totally. You speak with a lot more empathy than I do, Derek.
Well, you know,
the straights are ruining everything.
I mean, I think it's different because I'm dealing with most of the people that I deal with are middle-aged adoptees, like people who have been adopted, who are trying to find out where they came from. And a lot of them had sort of a hole for themselves that where there was a question mark for them, and they want to feel whole again.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of sympathy for them, but I also have a lot of sympathy for, you know, these young women who grew up in a time period where everyone told them, well, no one can ever know about this.
Yeah.
We're going to send you away and you'll never talk about it. And you're the only one.
Yeah.
This is happening to no one else. And
except the girls we send you away with.
Right. Except for them. But like my grandmother, her generation, you know, because she gave my mother up for adoption and she lived her life believing that she was the only one. And consumer DNA testing has shown now, no, at least 8 of her like second and third cousins, like people that she would have run into or known about, also went through exactly the same thing in the same sort of 15-year time period. And it was all a family secret, and nobody was talking about it with each other. I mean, maybe the older women in the family sort of were telling each other, here's how you do it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, like, they all believed that they were the only one. And now you were all going through this at the same time, and you, because everybody was in this cone of silence about it, you all had this traumatic experience that you didn't get to talk to anyone about it while you were all having it at the same time. So,
My wife, her mom comes from like 12, they're like 13 of them. So there were a lot of older. And my wife has an aunt, an older aunt, who same thing, same situation. Yeah. They never met the kid. Yeah.
And it's just, I feel bad for everybody who is involved, because, you know, if you're 19 and you find out you're pregnant and older people that you trust tell you this is the only path forward that will, you know, give you a good life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you just sort of, you accept what people who are older and you trust they're operating in your best interest. And in some ways, you know, it is, because they were able to have, you know, a different life, a different life than they would have had. But they also were stuck in this shame, the silence place, where they couldn't ever talk about it or express it. Or, you know, if they were feeling, I wonder what happened. Like, they didn't have anybody they could share those feelings with.
Right.
Safely. And
I can't imagine.
It's just tough.
I'm holding on to a secret. Like, I even just not telling my mom I was gay killed me. And, you know, like, I can't imagine having that secret your whole life. That's huge.
Yeah.
Secrets are toxic.
It is
toxic. So I hope that we are getting an end to that.
Yeah.
Because I do think that it's damaging to everybody. And it makes it difficult for people to move on in their, you know, love relationships and their relationships with their kids or their parents or their siblings when you have this kind of stuff hanging over you. And a lot of it is not easy to unwind. It's very hard. And, you know, I'm somewhat dispassionate about some of these things because, like, I wasn't there. You know, I wasn't alive in the 1940s making these choices. And
what, you weren't?
But I talk to people who are like finding out this information about their families and everything. It's like, we weren't there and we can't do anything about it now. We can only be ourselves in the present. Yeah. And sure, people made bad choices in the past. You know, my third great grandfather fought in the Civil War and he fought for the North, and I am relieved, but I can't control the fact that he fought for the North and not the South, right?
Right.
So I'm glad he was on the right side of history, but as bad as it would be if he wasn't, I wasn't there. I didn't.
Nothing
it wasn't
do.
A choice I made, so I can't hold on to it in the same way as choices that I've made in my own life. And so I try to encourage other people, like, you can't hold on to other people's choices during time periods where you weren't there. You weren't involved. And
that's fair.
You know, and you just have to sort of be in the moment that you have and make a positive path forward for everybody.
And then in the back of your head go, that stupid bitch.
Yes, exactly.
That's you. You are very judgmental.
I'm not. I'm just, well, yes, maybe. I don't know. I'm like towards straight folks.
This is not an intervention. It's fine.
I know. I don't want to go that deep.
Okay. Okay, Romaine, it's the holidays.
All right, it's the holidays. So, Jamie, as part of our end of the year review stuff, we are talking holidays. So, how do you typically spend the holidays with your family?
Like, are we talking like the December holidays?
Yeah, let's go December holidays.
I mean, you know, we do Christmas, we do Santa.
Okay.
We do the Santa. We don't do, there's no religious aspect to anything we do because I'm very anti-religion. So there's no religion in it. We don't go to church, but we do Santa.
Okay.
So we do the tree. I love Christmas and I love Santa and I love the
presents. You love Christmas because there's a lot of great music at Christmas. Am I right?
Oh my God. It's so good. When December hits, that music is hitting Alexa. Like, yeah, it starts. It's game on. I love the tree. I love the lights. And I love Christmas morning with children. It's the best. It really is the sweetest thing.
I know. I'm sad that my child is no longer a child because yeah. I miss those early bright-eyed excitement.
And they come in. They're so excited. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's cute. It's sweet. And then you think about it. You're like, oh, my God, this is disgusting. These children are so spoiled. And they stopped playing with them 10 minutes later. And they don't even like anything they got. But it's the best moment. Those 10 minutes are the best 10 minutes of the, it's so sweet. Like, it's fun. You know, you stay up late, you wrap the gifts, you drink. Me and my wife, we just drink and wrap presents, you know. Then you wake up and put a little whiskey in the coffee.
All true. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how
you do it.
Yeah. What time do your kids usually wake you up on Christmas morning?
Oh, like 6:30.
And you've gone to bed at like 4.
Yeah, because you've been up so late wrapping gifts. And then, yeah, no, like you're so exhausted Christmas morning and you never feel good.
And you guys live in New York City. And so we all know that even a spacious New York City apartment is small. So, where do you hide? Where do you hide in that limited space the gifts?
That's the hard part. So every year I end up probably losing. I lose a handful of gifts that are somewhere in the apartment. There are still probably some gifts hidden from like 3 years ago that we never found. Every year there are a couple gifts that we're like, didn't we buy that thing? Don't we have? It's somewhere. It's somewhere. We go through every closet imaginable. We go into every space. There are definitely two that we still haven't found from years ago. That happens every year. And I've already started. It's so funny you mentioned this because I started thinking about Christmas shopping. And then I started thinking about, oh God, I got to clear some space. Where am I going to put the gifts? Where am I going to hide them? Because we also just kind of redid the kids' room a little bit, like made a little separation. Yeah. So they somewhat have their own rooms. And so the closets are a little different. So I'm like, oh God, where am I going to put the freaking gifts? Like, where am I going to hide this stuff? Yeah. It's already beginning. I'm already trying to figure out what to do.
The best place to hide gifts at Romaine's house is under the mess in Romy's room, because we know she's not going to look under there.
Honestly, that is probably sound advice.
I should probably do that with Rose's room because it's not cute. It's not
okay,
pretty
this is what I think you should do. I think you should hide one small present under a mess in her room and then leave it there. And then on Christmas morning, these are all the presents. Like, no, actually, your room is such a mess. Let's go in there and then pull up a pile of clothes and surprise. Yeah. This has been here for a month under this mess in your whole room.
No, clean your room and you will find your gifts.
That's right.
I like that idea. It's a treasure hunt. Clean your room. Maybe you'll find all your gifts.
And
somewhere
guess what?
In this room, there's 13 gifts. There's only 12. Go find them.
They've been in there for a month.
Right under your nose this whole time.
That phone you've been begging me for, been in there the whole month.
Whole time. Yeah. No, she had a mouse in her room recently. And did that make her clean her room? No. She's oh, I have a new mouse friend. Don't worry, the cats took care of that. But I was like, Romy, clean your room.
Oh, my God. My kids would be so excited if a mouse came.
Yeah, she's excited. Trust me. She was thrilled until the cat got it. Then she was less thrilled. Because then she had to save it from the cat.
Did she save it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cats don't really kill the mice very often. They tend to, just want to play with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we usually will find it, mid-playtime.
My cat, first of all, my cat growing up, his name was Scratch. So that tells you a lot about him.
Uh-huh.
He ate my bird. Well, he left it for dead. Well, he left it maimed. And it was it was Christmas morning.
Oh God.
No.
Speaking of Christmas, we were we were like, where's JJ? Where's the bird? Because sometimes we would let the bird, I don't know why we had a bird, but sometimes we'd let it fly around. Where is JJ? And then all of a sudden we heard,
oh no.
This little, it's so sad.
Oh it God.
It was laying on its side on my parents' dirty laundry.
Oh, no.
In the hamper. The cat had left it just slightly alive.
Oh, sadness.
Yeah, I think that was Christmas Eve, and then he died on Christmas.
Oh, of course, yeah.
That's, or JJ.
Traumatizing.
So that's quite the Christmas memory. Huh. Okay, well, that wasn't what I was expecting with our holiday show, but okay. All right.
Sorry.
All right, so you put up a Christmas tree.
Yeah, we do.
What day does the Christmas tree go up? Do you have a specific day?
Good question. Because my birthday and Rose's birthday are before Christmas. So I'm the 16th. She's the 18th, which means I don't get a birthday anymore, if you've deduced that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, so we always, at my whole life, we've gotten the tree around my birthday. So I've kind of kept that tradition going. So between one of our birthdays, that's when we'll get the tree. So it's about a week before Christmas or week and a half.
So you get a fresh tree.
We get one down at the guy on the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't know that it's fresh by that date, but sure.
But we don't go chop it down. One day we should be all lesbian and chop a tree down ourselves. It just seems like a lot of work.
That does seem like a lot. Even I'm not interested in that job.
No.
Yeah.
It's
the kind of thing that kind of thing sounds fun.
Right.
I have done it. It's not that fun. Like you'll get, you know, you go to a Christmas tree farm and then you walk around and you pick a tree and they'll have whatever. Some kid is selling apple cider or like hot chocolate, but the hot chocolate is like, you know, a crayon melted in some water. Like it's not like delicious.
No.
And then it's a whole thing. And then you got to put the thing on the car and then the needles scrape up the paint job on the car. It's a whole thing. And then you realize, this took my whole day. It was freezing.
And it wasn't worth it.
It was not, fun. But maybe with little kids, it might be more fun.
No, because they won't do anything.
And then
they'll just annoy you.
They'll
just annoy you the whole time. And then your six-year-old or seven-year-old will be like, Mom, can I look at my iPad, Mom?
Yeah.
I'm fucking chopping a tree.
But then you'll also get one of the world is burning. Why are you killing a tree? Then you'll have some kind of justice warrior meltdown at the tree farm. There goes our Courier and Ives moment.
Yeah. Yeah, so not worth it. Thanks for talking me out of that one. I mean, I even feel guilty just getting a real tree, but I want the smell of the tree. I love the smell. So
I can't have a real tree.
Why? Oh, cats?
I'm allergic.
What?
You bring a tree into my house and my whole face gets puffy and my eyes and I can't breathe. It's horrible. Yeah.
Oh my God, that sucks.
Yeah, it really does.
I've done it at Christmas party.
I've done it every once in a while. I've had them every once in a while. Every once in a while, I'll just be like, fuck it. I don't care. And I'll be miserable for a month. But generally speaking, I just don't do it. But I have a very good looking fake Christmas tree that works just fine.
Well, okay. Yeah. I mean, the fake ones are really nice. I keep thinking maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll switch. But then, you know, Christmas comes and I'm like, yeah, let's get that tree. Because it's so fun to decorate. But you could do that with a fake one.
I hate decorating the tree. This is a secret about me. I hate it. I loathe the whole entire process. Now, I love a Christmas tree. I love seeing it. But then it has to go up on a specific day. It has to come down on a specific day. I'm very regimented that way.
As soon as Christmas is done, that tree needs to get out. I'm done looking at it for sure. 100%. Yeah.
We have a lot of ornaments at our house. When we had Romy, we started a tradition where every year we would buy each other Christmas ornaments. And so every year we would add whatever, 9 ornaments to our tree. And now there are so many fucking ornaments. We need a second tree because now we have our A ornaments and our B ornaments. And some years we do the B ornaments. But if we have a new kitten, that's a B ornament year. And then only the A ornaments go when we know the cats aren't going to attack them.
Oh, my God.
This year is a B ornament year because we have a new cat and he has not experienced Christmas. And I have a feeling he is going to be a terror at the Christmas tree.
Our beagle, we have this dog who just chews everything still to this day. So when we first decorate the tree, they're all so beautifully dispersed. And then the dog comes at them, the dog. So by 3 days in, all of the ornaments are just the top of the tree. Everything's been moved up or has been chewed up to pieces and it's gone.
Wow.
One of my favorite things about New York City is February when you go down the street and somebody will finally put their tree out. And it's like, who do you think is going to pick this up now? This tree, you know, the epiphany was 5 weeks ago. Why is this tree still here? And it's like, you've had this dead tree in your house for a month.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Dedication to procrastination, for real.
It really is. I mean, that's the kind of house I grew up in. Like, that tree would have been there for probably till the next Christmas. Like, and that's why I'm so neurotic now that nope, clutter be gone. It's out. This holiday is over. December 26th. Let's go, y'all.
Now, with your wife, are you completely aligned on holiday traditions, or was there some early negotiating back and forth?
Pretty aligned. The only thing that was weird that I found weird, because we used to go to her, we would go, because she's from Queens and I'm from San Francisco. So we're not, every once in a while, we'll fly out to San Francisco to be with my parents, but not so much anymore. My dad passed away, blah, blah, blah. But when her mom was still alive, we would go to Queens on Christmas morning. So we'd open presents with us and then we'd go out to Queens to do it their family's way. Right. And the only thing that was weird to me, they all watch each other. They take turns opening. Like, I was like, what is that? Because in my family, you just tore in and we're like, ah! And everybody was like that, like, you know, like chaos. They like, it's Kevin's turn. Kevin, right. Here, grab a gift, you know, and then you watch and then you say, oh, thank you so much. Like, it was like really awkward for me. But now we do that with the kids. So I've adopted that, actually. So that's interesting. I just realized that.
How we did it, Romaine.
We always, so in my family, we had a very specific order in which you opened gifts.
Whoa.
The youngest child opened all of their gifts first.
Oh.
And then the next youngest, and you went to the oldest. And then my mom was always the last to open her gifts. My dad opened his before hers. She was always the last one. And she always had the most giant stack of gifts because she had 8 kids. So, and she was like, but yeah, it was a process.
So the oldest kid had to wait through 8 kids. Oh, hell no.
Yep.
Now we do it slightly different now with Romy. We take turns. So like Romy will open like 2 gifts and then Iris will open 1 and then I'll open 1. Then Romy will open like 2 and then because she always has more than us. But
I think me and my brother were just like, and then it was done. I don't even.
Well, then where do you get the joy of getting to see like the reaction to like a present? Because you get distracted.
I think we yelled out and we're like, Mom, I got to speak and say, oh, that's so great. You know, I don't know. How funny. These like little tiny things that are tradition that are like slightly different in each house. Right. But I actually really enjoy the way we do it now. And that's from Anne's family growing up, which is interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys make like a big meal for the holidays? Like a big family meal?
Yeah.
Are you New Yorkers? Do you go out?
Well, we would go. We always had a family meal, you know, like growing up, I would be at a family member's house or something. It would be a big meal. But as family members die, things get smaller and smaller. So now we'll probably like go out to eat with her dad and her brother. Like it's like kind of like sad.
Now it's sad. Oh, no.
Because, you know, like it used to be like such a big thing and all the family members and. The families are, it's dwindling. There are less and less of us and not everybody's together. Like my family's all in San Francisco and Anne's brothers live in the South. And so she's got one brother here and her dad. And so we're just like usually with them. It's kind of like sad.
You don't want to have them over and cook?
They won't come into the city.
Oh, okay.
Well, her dad, okay, in her dad's defense, he is 93.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah,
so I'm sure it's a process going from Queens.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to come to the city.
Right. Sure.
But we go over there and we just go out to eat. It's easier. But if we were like, but we'll do like a friends celebration.
Sure.
You know, like if friends are in town, we'll do like a big thing like that. You know, I do love a big holiday meal with like everyone. And like, that's why I love Thanksgiving too. But even that is like dwindled down to some people. Like, so we need to build a bigger family, I think, somehow.
You mean have more kids?
Yeah. Or find the donor siblings and bring them in.
That'd be fun.
There you go. You know what? Reach out in the sibling donor network and just be like, hey, we need to pad out our Christmas dinner table. So, you know, now's your chance. Come on
over.
We should
do that. Come on into the city. Come on. Let's do it. We're going to have the Kelwoods.
That's
Kelwoods
fun.
Family Christmas. That's a movie. That's a holiday movie.
Speaking of movies, I wanted to ask you about holiday movies. So do you have a favorite holiday movie that you could not wait to introduce your kids to? And did they like it?
Christmas Story.
And do they like it?
They do.
Oh,
thank God, right? Thank God. Yeah, A Christmas Story is the one. I have to watch it. I have to watch it. You have to watch it.
Like, I agree. I love that movie.
Multiple times. Yeah, like, and you have to know it well enough to quote it. And my oldest does at this point, which is really great. And the youngest is going to get there. Yeah, it's a classic. And then also, it was soup poisoning. Sorry, I just had to quote that part. But my other one, the new one, the new tradition that I've started is Elf.
I love Elf. That's one of my favorites.
Because Will Ferrell, come on, so good, so good. Francisco, that's fun to say. And you have to quote the movies all December long, constantly. I'm constantly singing holiday tunes.
Yep.
Much to my family's annoyance, and quoting the holiday movies that I love. And that's tradition right there.
That is.
That's what they're going to remember. That's what they're going to say at the speech in my funeral. She was always quoting those dumb movies.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that one of my Christmas decorations is I do have a leg lamp nightlight.
Ah, right.
From Christmas Story, yeah.
From Christmas Story that I plug in as part of my little holiday decoration.
I love that.
Fragile. Yeah. That is amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like I need one of those.
I also have one of those.
It's
I think we both got them. I think the same year we got them.
I think so.
But only for Christmas time. Like not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's with the Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Well, I'm so excited for the holidays now. I do love it. December's my favorite, probably because it's my birthday month, but you know.
I mean, that's a good reason. But it sucks having a birthday so close to the holidays because Iris has an early January birthday.
Yeah.
And I hate it because I'm like, I have to distinguish between a birthday and the holidays. You cannot commingle the two then they get gypped and that's fucked up and nobody likes that.
Yep, you do.
And then I'm like, okay, what gifts do I give for Christmas? What gifts do I give for the birthday? Like, I got to make sure they're equal in awesomeness. Oh, it's hard.
You do. And I think it's harder to have a birthday after Christmas than before. Because after Christmas, you're just done.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody's done. But, oh, crap, we got to have a party now?
Like, and you cannot wrap birthday gifts in Christmas wrapping paper.
No, you cannot.
Oh, that will get you stabbed.
No, you cannot. Yeah. No, you cannot. Yeah. And when you have kids, you can't wrap Santa's presents in the family wrapping paper. Because then they'll know.
Right.
This is the thing that I never thought of before. So we have the Santa wrapping paper, and then we have the family, and no two shall meet. You cannot mix them. Yeah. And then you have to write their names differently, like so it doesn't look like you're writing for Santa. You know what we just started doing is Santa doesn't sign them.
Oh, that's smart.
Unsigned, like a Supreme Court opinion.
I always make the Santa gifts really fancy looking. Like they're the fancy ones. The ones from us are just like, here's shitty old wrapping. But Santa gifts are always super fancy. But also I am, this is not going to surprise anyone. I buy myself gifts from Santa.
Yeah, you
surprise.
Do.
For me. And then I wrap my own gifts from Santa and
surprise.
Put them under the tree. And they're every year it's something excellent. Because I know my wife is a horrible gift giver and my daughter's not much better. So I make sure I'm going to be happy by buying my own gift and wrapping.
I like that idea.
I'm a huge fan. And Iris is like, Santa did well this year. And I'm like, yes, Santa did.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, I think that you should reimagine your birthday as this place between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
The way that I'm now thinking about like the summertime, boom, boom, boom of Juneteenth, Pride, and the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I think you should look at it as like, we are in our, 6-week long circuit of fun, kicking off with Thanksgiving and then going to your birthday and then Christmas and then New Year's, boom, 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 every 2 weeks, or, roughly, we're going to have some new fun thing that's going on in our season of fun.
Derek, oddly enough, it is like that, but also because my son's birthday is November 20th.
Perfect.
Oh my God.
So it's Orion, Thanksgiving, Jamie, Rose, Christmas, and then Anne is February. So it really is like every 6 weeks. And when we get into December, it's like, poof, 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 poof.
That's wild. What do you guys do for the rest of the year?
we're so bored. It's so, you know, like nothing happens.
You know, here's the thing that kills me. Gay people have a lot of planning of when they could have a baby. I knew what months I was going to try to have a baby and what months I was absolutely not going to try to have a baby because I don't want a baby in that month. Like, I actually thought about these things. Did you guys not think about these things?
And my teacher wife, my wife, yeah, who is a high school teacher, hell yes, she did. But it didn't work out that way, which is your first lesson in parenting.
That's
it,
right.
Didn't work out. I know you guys have an interview right now, right?
Yeah, here in a minute. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, I guess we should wrap this up then. The year is over, and so is this episode of Derek and Romaine.
I could do this for hours, though. Like, oh, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go do the other thing.
Same girl. It's always fun chatting with you. But if people love Jamie, and I don't know why you wouldn't. You can hear her every week on the Queer Family Podcast, the award-winning Queer Family Podcast. Oh, yeah. She has, look at all the trophies she has back there, Derek, behind her.
Jealous?
I'm a little bit jealous. I mean, mine are behind me, too. You can't really see them, but they're back on that shelf back there.
Yeah, I see them. I see them.
Anywho, the queerfamilypodcast.com is their website, and the Queer Family Podcast on all the socials, except for Twitter, because fuck Twitter.
Fuck Twitter.
Right? X.
Yeah.
We gave the X to X.
Blah. Yeah. I'm done with that.
And don't forget, listeners, that you can get the Queer Family Podcast every Monday. It's available with the DNR Plus subscription at dnrstudios.com. And of course, once you have that subscription, you can listen every week on our DNR Cast app, which is amazing. And it's available in the App Store and the Google Play. Derek, anything that I missed? Anything you want to add?
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho. Happy New Year to you, Jamie. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful new year.
I hope Santa brings you something good.
I do too. I don't want a lot for Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. I love y'all. This has been so much fun. I could do this forever.
Okay, we've got to go. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
Happy holidays, everybody. Here on Derek and Romaine.
As we round out 2024, I just want to take a moment to thank all of you for being the best listeners a radio show host could ask for.
Without all of you, we couldn't continue to do what we love. So thank you for your continued support.
We have big things in store for 2025, and we hope that you will continue to be a big part of the DNR family.
Happy holidays and happy new year from everyone here at DNR Studios.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.